You're listening to Kalam Institute's podcast. Visit us on the web at kalaminstitute.org. That's kalaminstitute.org. Or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/kalaminstitute.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah aliyy dhati azim sifati sami simatika bil sha'n. جليل القدير الرفيع الذكر مطاع الأمر جلي البرهان فخيم الاسم غزيل العلم وسيل الحلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جزيل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سري الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخير الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس واحد الله فإن التوحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم. From the very early part of the prophethood of Muhammad Rasulullah, peace and blessings be upon him, there is a very amazing and remarkable story of love, of commitment, dedication and devotion. In the very early part of the mission of the Prophet ﷺ, before the preaching was public, the people close to and around the Prophet ﷺ started to embrace the faith and believe. And the books of Seerah mentioned that the number of believers was now ranging anywhere from 38, 39 to even 40 people now. These are the first 40 believers. That included many of his own close family members and his own personal friends and close friends of those initial believers. So it's a very small, close, tight-knit circle. And one of these first few believers, these first couple of dozen believers, was Al-Arqam bin Abi Al-Arqam, radiallahu anhu, who was hosting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the rest of the companions within his own home so that they would have a place to pray and a place to learn and a place to congregate. And that is the famous Darul Arqam, the house of Arqam, radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was a leader of his people, even before Islam. He's a leader, of course, of this ummah, but he was a leader of his people before Islam. He was well respected in the Meccan community. He was considered one of the seniors of the community. He was someone that people would take their problems to. He was someone that would intermediate in the middle of a conflict. He was someone who would step in and settle disputes. It said on top of that, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a man of wealth, a man of dignity, a man of honor. The books about the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu actually tell us that even before Islam, he was well known not to consume alcohol, not to be publicly intoxicated, not to engage and indulge in fornication and adultery. He was a man of very high esteem and high honor and great dignity even before Islam. And regardless of what the general culture of Mecca had become at that time, which was, it honestly had deteriorated very badly at that time. Still, in spite of that, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was respected, very well and widely respected because of this personal standard of dignity and honor and self-respect that he had. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was also a genealogist. He was a specialist of knowing people's lineages, the tribes and the families and exactly your family tree. He knew people. And he knew where people came from. He knew where people belonged to. And he was, of course, one of the first few people to accept Islam, the first adult male to accept Islam. And according to the majority of the scholars of Sirah and Hadith, the way they reconcile all the narrations is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu might just have been the fourth person to accept Islam. After Khadija, Ali and Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with all of them, then it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he was the first person to pray publicly by the side of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And to give you a little bit of insight into their relationship with one another, there are narrations, there are reports about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the childhood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that tell us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had been best friends since the age of 10. We have a report that goes back all the way to the time when the Prophet ﷺ was 10 years old that talks about his friendship with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So at a minimum, they had been best friends for 30 years. Very close personal friends. And then on top of that, a man of very great honor and dignity and respect. That's why when the Prophet ﷺ presented the message to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and in fact the narrations say, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the one who asked the Prophet ﷺ that I haven't seen you coming and sitting with the people for the last day or so. What's going on? Is everything okay? Because when you have a personal friend and you don't hear from a close, like your best friend doesn't text you for a day, that's cause for concern. You immediately call them, you drive over to their house, is everything okay? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu didn't see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for a day and a half, and he grew concerned about his best friend. So he goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, "What's going on? Is everything okay?" And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu about the message. What Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did when he heard the message, I'll tell you through the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a narration, a hadith, that any time I presented this religion, this deen, this iman, this Islam to anyone, they always took a moment to think. They always hesitated for at least a little bit. Even Ali radiallahu anhu, he was a child, but he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I need to sleep on it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, anyone I presented this religion to, they took a moment to just kind of reconsider things. He said, except for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He immediately embraced the faith. One time Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu, and this happens amongst friends and colleagues and co-workers, they had a dispute over a matter. When it was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the overwhelming love that he had for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he tells all of the Sahaba, he doesn't just single out Umar, he tells all of the Sahaba, all of his companions, that I came and called all of you to Islam. And all of you initially said, kadhabta, you lie. He said, except for Abu Bakr. I told him the message and he said, sadaqta. He said, you speak the truth. That's why the Prophet ﷺ gave him the title of a siddiq. So this is a man of great love for the Prophet ﷺ. This is a man who recognized the truth faster and quicker than anyone else. And this is also a man who is willing to stand up for the truth before anyone else. And there's a beautiful story that when the number of Muslims reached about 40 and the house of Arqam was, you know, popping at the seams, it was completely full of people at this point. 40 people in one home congregating. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the time's come that we go and we make a public appearance now. It's time, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say prohibit him. He didn't forbid it. He didn't say no. He didn't say no. Otherwise it would have been a command. But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that I think we should maybe be a little bit more cautious. Consider this, Abu Bakr. Should we be a little bit more cautious? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no, O Messenger of Allah, I feel confident. I feel confident. So he said, let's go. So now all these believers, 40, imagine in a big old city, a very, very small minority. They march into the haram. And the narration says to try to put themselves in a position of safety and security, they all scattered about in the haram, looked for a few other members of their tribe or their family, and went and stood next to them. Why? Because there was so much tribal loyalty and affiliation at that time, that even if they disagreed with what you were doing or saying, if somebody from another tribe tried to harm you or hurt you, your tribe's people would say, no, he's ours, we'll take care of him. If he needs to be slapped around, we'll do the slapping. You don't touch him, he's our family member. There was enough tribal pride. So it was a strategic move. They scattered about and found some people of their tribe and family, even if they weren't believers, to just be somewhat protected. Because these were very overwhelming odds. And the Prophet of Allah ﷺ sat down as well. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the first public spokesperson. We talk about PR. We want to make a statement in the media. We want to be a spokesperson. The first spokesperson for Islam was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The first spokesperson on behalf of the Prophet ﷺ. The first public endorsement the Prophet ﷺ received was from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he stood up and he presented the message to them. The narrations tell us that the people started, they basically just, they attacked, they jumped Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu viciously. And even a few dozen other Sahaba who were scattered about in the haram came under attack. And everybody was being beaten. But nobody was beaten worse than Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. One of the people, one of the leaders of Quraysh, Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he actually took off his shoes and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was knocked down. He sat on the chest of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and started to pound him on the face with his shoes. And the narration says it's this specific, that he was targeting his nose. And he broke his nose so badly and severely, the whole face of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was covered in blood. And he was disfigured that people couldn't even recognize him. Until finally the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu realized what was going on. They stepped in and broke off the mob. They dispersed the mob and they carried him home. And they swore that if he dies, everybody was certain he's going to die. If he dies, they swore, the family of Abu Bakr, who were majority non-believers, they said that we in retribution will kill Utbah ibn Rabi'ah. We will publicly murder him in retribution. Because the case was that severe, his condition was so bad. When he was taken home, it said that when his mother and his family members saw him, they started to uncontrollably cry. The narration says he was unresponsive for a day. Allah knows best, it might have even been a coma. And his family members gathered around him, kept trying to talk to him, resuscitate him, revive him somehow. Until finally Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu opened his eyes after a day. And everyone huddled around, gathered around. And the first words out of the mouth of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was, مَا فَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ. What happened to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? Because the last thing he remembered was, he was speaking in front of people, the Prophet ﷺ was sitting there, and then a mob broke out, and everyone, this pandemonium, complete panic occurred. And the last thing he saw was the Prophet ﷺ was sitting there in the middle of a riot. So he didn't know what happened to the Prophet ﷺ. First thing he asked was, what happened to the Prophet ﷺ? His father, Abu Quhafa, who was blind, and the other family members were so disgusted, they started to curse him. And they walked out. They said, this man is helpless. It's pointless with this guy. But before they left, they told his mother, who was called Ummul Khair, they told her, they said, look after him, feed him this, give him that, do this, do that. They gave her some advice, how to basically bring him back to good health. When the mother came back inside trying to treat him, he said, what happened to the Prophet ﷺ? She said, I don't know, son, I wouldn't know. He said, go to Ummu Jamil, who was the sister of Umar ibn Khattab, who was a believer, who was still hiding her Islam. He said, go to her and ask her. It's a very lengthy narration, but she goes there, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, she goes there, and she asks Ummu Jamil, and Ummu Jamil has to maintain her secrecy. She says, I don't know what you're talking about. She goes, can you at least come see my son? He's dying. when she comes there and she sees Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, imagine what his condition must have been. These were people who were used to war. These are people who were used to sword fighting. These were people who were used to brutality. When she saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, she shrieked. Imagine what his face was like. She shrieked when she saw him. She panicked. And then finally Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? She said, he's safe and he's okay. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took an oath. Imagine the physical condition he's in. He took an oath. He says, I swear by God, I swear to Allah, I will not eat anything, I will not drink a sip of water until and unless I am first able to lay my eyes on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's okay. His mother started to cry. He said, son, why do you do this? Eventually realizing he wasn't going to budge, Ummu Jamil and his mother, Ummu Al-Khair, they literally carry Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at night when the whole city goes to sleep, they carry him to the house of Arqam. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walks through the door, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And what you would normally expect the story to say, that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu hugged the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and kissed him and cried on his shoulder. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ran to the door and hugged Abu Bakr, held him, carried him, and he kissed him on his head. And the narration says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's shoulder. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time, "Bi abi wa ummi anta ya Rasulullah. I would give up my father and my mother for you, O Messenger of Allah. I don't care," and he says in the narration, "I don't care what they've done to my face. I don't care what they've done to my face, as long as you are okay." This is a story of true love, of compassion, of respect, of honor, of iman, above everything else. I bring this story up, and I wanted to talk about this, because of what has transpired over the last week or so. And this is not something that's completely new to us, but nevertheless, this is something that we have to understand. We must understand. Not just through emotional rhetoric, not through a PR statement, not through a photo op, but this is something we have to understand in light of the Book of Allah and the life of the Prophet ﷺ. The Messenger of Allah ﷺ is a pillar of our faith. We believe in him as something very profound. He means a whole lot to us. He's very important to us. And his disrespect, him being slandered, being disrespected, him, when people speak about him inappropriately, that is something that is very hurtful to us. And if it was not, if we could sit there and watch a video being vile and disrespectful towards the Messenger of God, peace and blessings be upon him, and it wouldn't just churn our stomach, it wouldn't make us upset, we wouldn't have to stop it. One of my students, I had heard about the video, but almost because I know myself, I can't read that material. Whether it be a website or a book, I just can't read it, I can't watch it. I feel like I'm physically incapable of doing so. It's too much to bear. One of my students insisted and started to play it. In 20 seconds, I had to get up and leave the room. I couldn't take it. If we weren't offended or insulted or hurt by it, then we have a problem in our own iman. There's no doubt about that fact. But as you've probably heard, as it's probably been stated numerous times, but it's important that it's stated here from the minbar on the day of Jumu'ah, so that we all understand and internalize this. That we also have to understand how to react, how to respond, and how to exactly deal with these emotions. I'm going to present three basic things to you. The first thing I'd like to present to you is the character, the standard, the behavior of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. You know, like maybe on Facebook and Twitter, I see all the young people interacting. What would Muhammad do? Let's not just have a hashtag. Let's not just say it because it's popular, it's cool, or retweet it and repost it. What would the Prophet of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, do? What did he do? Not what would he do, what did he do? So when we read the narrations, there's a narration. First I'll talk about what was the outlook of the Prophet ﷺ when he looked at the world, which included his lovers and also included his haters. It included his fans and his believers and his followers, but it also included the people who despised him and hated him and worked against him. But how did he view the world? What was the lens of the Prophet ﷺ? There's a narration that is in both Bukhari and Muslim, where the Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I heard the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, saying, إِنَّمَا مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ النَّاسِ كَرَجُلٍ إِسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا. My example and the example of humanity, not believers. He didn't say, كَمَثَلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمِينَ. No, كَمَثَلِ النَّاسِ. All of humanity. So my example and the example of all of humanity, our relationship, our interaction is like a man who there is a fire burning. And there, this man is standing in front of this fire. فَلَمَّا أَضَاءَتْ مَا حَوْلَهُ. And when the fire kind of grew a little bit and became bigger, جَعَلَ الْفَرَاشِ وَهَذِهِ الدَّوَابِ الَّتِي تَقَعُ فِي النَّارِ يَقَعْنَ فِيهَا. And then the little bugs, the insects, like moths coming to a flame, that figure of speech. The reason why that figure of speech exists, because there are little bugs and insects and creatures that are attracted to the fire. And sometimes they don't realize, to their own detriment, they keep coming closer and closer to the fire till they fall in it and then they burn, they incinerate. So the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this fire is burning and I'm standing in front of this fire, and all of these bugs are now starting to come and flock and fly towards this flame. فَجَعَلَ الرَّجُلْ يَزْعُهُنَّ. So this man starts to go and starts to shoo these bugs and these flies away, trying to scatter them away, trying to fend them off from the fire. وَيَغْلِبْنَهُ. But these insects, these creatures are overwhelming this man. There's too many, there's millions of little insects. And one man running around trying to catch all of them, stop all of them from falling in the fire. فَيَقْتَحِمْنَ فِيهَا. And they're themselves going forward and falling head first into this fire and burning themselves, killing themselves. فَأَنَا أَخُذُ بِحُجَزِكُمْ. And then the Prophet ﷺ turns the example onto us and he says, I am trying to grab a hold of y'all. O mankind, O humanity, I'm trying to grab a hold of you from behind you. Meaning I'm so overwhelmed that you're getting actually past me. I'm not even able to catch you before you get to me. You're actually passing me and I'm reaching back, trying to just grab a hold of your clothes from behind so that I can pull you back from the fire. وَأَنْتُمْ تَقْتَحِمُونَ فِيهَا. But you keep going head first and falling into the fire. I want you to sense the desperation in this example, this analogy. This isn't something somebody comes up with very casually. This is an expression of what somebody feels in their heart. This is pain, this is anguish, this is torture. To live life in this way? That's why it's no surprise that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes to lay down in his bed. After all day long serving humanity, preaching to humanity, saving humanity, he lays down in his bed and is barely able to lay down and close his eyes for a moment and then says, I have to go. And stands up and spreads his hands before Allah and cries all night for humanity's sake. This is the outlook of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the world that he lives in. And this includes the people who hate him. This includes the people who speak ill of him. We talk about what would the Prophet ﷺ do in a situation where he is being wronged, he is being slandered. There's another narration mentioned by a few different books of hadith. It's narrated in the Mustadrak of Hakim in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban and by Imam Tabarani in his collection of hadith. That's a very lengthy story. Zayd ibn Sun'a or Su'na, who was a Jewish businessman, had come to the Prophet ﷺ, or the Prophet ﷺ had gone to him, wanting to buy something, purchase something from him. And the Prophet ﷺ did not have the payment ready at that time. So the Prophet ﷺ fixed a term, a deadline, a payment date with him. I'll pay you on this date. The man comes back before the date, before the payment due date. He comes back before that. And the narration says the Prophet ﷺ is sitting with his companions. He literally tears through the congregation. Just imagine somebody just walking straight through, just shoving people aside, very angry. Walks right up to the Prophet ﷺ, and the narration says that he literally grabs his clothes like this. If somebody did that to us, what would we do? It's football season, right? We would tackle him. He grabs the Prophet of Allah ﷺ like this. Imagine that. He says, "Where's my money?" And he goes further. He says, "You Banu Hashim, you people, y'all are notorious for not paying people back on time. I know you people. Pay up. I don't trust you." Subhanallah. The Prophet of Allah ﷺ is letting the moment kind of just everybody cool down, everybody relax. Umar radiallahu anhu draws his sword and says, "Give me the word, O Messenger of Allah, and I'll finish him right here where he stands. You speak to my Prophet, my Messenger like that?" The Prophet of Allah ﷺ says, "Sheath your sword, Ya Umar." And he turns his attention to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And he says, "Ana wa huwa kunna ahwaj ila ghayr hadha, Ya Umar." Umar, me and him didn't need this. The last thing we needed was somebody to jump into the situation ready to just spill blood. That's not what we needed. We needed something else. And he says, "An ta'murani bi husn al-ada," that you should have told me you should pay this man back properly. Dear brother, you should pay this man back properly. وَتَأْمُرَهُ بِحُسْنِ اِتِّبَاعِهِ, and you should have told him to properly ask for his money. Like, you should come and schedule an appointment and say, "Brother, please, could you pay me? I have some bills to take care of. I'd really appreciate it." You should have advised me to pay properly. You should have advised him to ask properly. Not to all of a sudden jump in the mix. "Let me finish him. Let me show him what's up." That's not what you should have done, Ya Umar. And then the Prophet ﷺ sent to Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, "Idhib bihi Ya Umar. اِذْهَبْ بِهِ يَا عُمَرْ وَأَعْطِهِ حَقَّهُ," and give him his right back. And then on top of that, you from your own behalf, pay, go and find some money and pay him on my behalf, pay him back. That's your job, your responsibility now. And on top of that, from yourself, not from me, from yourself, I want you to give him an extra gift. Because you threatened him. You treated him badly. How dare you speak to somebody like that? So I want you to make it up to him, buy him a nice gift, do something nice for him. You don't treat people that way. That's what the Prophet ﷺ did. That's his standard. That's number one. So none of the emotional rhetoric, none of the political. I know that there are two sentiments amongst the ummah. One sentiment is, okay, we have to watch ourselves, we have to think this through, we have to make sure what type of a political statement it makes. There's PR, there's media, there's this, there's that. Then there's another sentiment in the ummah, like, we're tired of all this. We don't want to do no more photo ops. We're tired of appeasing people. The truth is the truth. We need to do what's right. Both parties, both sentiments are human reactions. That's fine. But both sentiments need to turn back and look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ. مَآتَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا. Allah said, take what the Messenger gave you and leave what he told you to leave. We need to look at the Prophet ﷺ for guidance. We want to defend him. Then defend him by means of his guidance and his teaching. That's the first thing I wanted to present. And this is something that consistent throughout the life of the Prophet ﷺ. The narrations go on endlessly. From the dua that the Prophet ﷺ made after Ta'if, when he was abused and beaten at Ta'if, and he bled at Ta'if. What's the dua that he made for those people afterwards? For guidance. What did the Prophet ﷺ do at the conquest of Makkah? He was compassionate, merciful, and forgiving towards these people. So this is a consistent thing throughout the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. The second thing, I'm going to summarize this quickly. The second thing is, there will always be ignorant people on the face of this earth. That's a reality of life. Stupid is as stupid does. I mean, that's a reality of life. There will always be ignorance on this earth. There were ignorant people at the time of the Prophet ﷺ who would say, "Yes, this is the truth, but I still want to oppose him." There's no reasoning with that, man. And that's why the Qur'an and the example, the precedent of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, even gives us recourse in that matter. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Why does that injunction exist? You will be addressed by ignorant people and you just say, "I am not going to stoop to your level, sir. قَالُوا سَلَامًا. سَلَامًا is a very dignified term. I will not stoop to your level, sir. It's not showing respect to that person, it's respecting yourself. I will not stoop to your level, sir. I will go about my business, but I will not engage in this nonsense and this ignorance. I ain't got time for this nonsense. That's the second thing that we need to understand. And the third thing, and this will be my concluding point, is that this highlights the importance. How do we fix this issue? How do we solve this problem? There has to be a more tangible solution besides all of this. And yes, there is a tangible solution. We need to go out there and tell people about who the Prophet ﷺ is. We need to have material, written material, online material, public forums, symposiums, campaigns. We need to tell the people, we need to inform humanity who Muhammad ﷺ was and what he means to us. We need to give them the truth about the Prophet ﷺ. But before we take that step, and this is the part that might sting a little. This is the part that will be a bitter pill to swallow. And I apologize to anyone I will offend here. I'm talking to myself. I cannot go and inform humanity and speak to humanity about who the Prophet ﷺ is unless I know what I'm talking about first. What do we know about the Prophet ﷺ? That's not for me to ask you or you to test me. No, ask yourself, do you really know about the Prophet ﷺ? Do you really know his life? Could you properly educate people about who the Prophet ﷺ? Could you answer the questions that people would have about the Prophet ﷺ? Could you? I need to ask myself, go look in the mirror, and it ain't gonna be fun. It never is a self-assessment. But it's important. Because if the answer comes back as it does to me, no, I don't. Then it's about time I got a little serious about this. It's about time that I stopped jumping and screaming when an incident occurred and actually dedicated my life to following the example and knowing about who the Prophet ﷺ is. It's very important. And there are tons of resources. The excuses in our times are gone. You have scholars in your midst, Imam Yusuf and other knowledgeable people here in your midst. Sit and learn from them. You want a book? There's books. You want to read online? They're online. Wherever you turn, a humble little effort that we started was just taking into consideration the lowest common denominator. Somebody who's very busy, doesn't have a lot of time or resources at all. I started conducting a weekly seerah class. And we record it, just the audio, no video, just the audio, we record it and we put it online for free. So that literally, automatically, you can sign up so it automatically downloads to your phone. So you listen to it while you drive. An hour a week, that's it. But you know who the Prophet ﷺ is. And what he stands for. It's very important that we take this step to educate ourselves, our families, and our communities till we become an educated community. And then we most definitely got to make noise. But then we make the right type of noise. We don't go out there and just yell and scream for the sake of yelling and screaming and burning things down and killing people. Then we go out there and we make noise. Everywhere you turn, you see a Muslim talking about who the Prophet ﷺ is. Everywhere you look, you see a Muslim exemplifying the character of the Prophet ﷺ. Everywhere you look, you see a Muslim starting a project that brings to fruition, that materializes one of the visions or the instructions or the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. And we better humanity, we better society, we better the world we live in by means of the Prophet ﷺ. And that's a practical plan of action, a course of action. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the proper understanding of who the Prophet ﷺ is and allow us to serve the deen properly. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an al-azim wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-hakim. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'iril muslimin. Fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim.